This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. And now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but you will understand later." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, then also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who it was who would betray him. And for this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and he returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. And so if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servant is not greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer, and you will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight I want to talk about the things that we remember on this holy night, Maundy Thursday. Indeed, to borrow a phrase from tonight's reading from Exodus 12, tonight is a night of remembrance for followers of Jesus Christ. And to remember in the biblical sense of the word means more than just a recollection. Indeed, an anamnesis, which is the Greek word for remembrance, as in when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Anamnesis means to give your whole and undivided attention to a thing, even to relive a thing, which in many respects is what we're doing here tonight together. Indeed, there are five things that we're remembering tonight. And the first is the mandatum novum. The mandatum novum, which is Latin for new commandment. Indeed, it's from the Latin word for commandment, mandatum, that this very night derives its name, Maundy Thursday. Based on what Jesus said on this night so many years ago, as we just read and is as recorded for us in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed and arrested, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, when you love each other the way I love you, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another." And so as believers, we're called not just to love one another, which sometimes, by the way, translates into loving the believers you like and maybe not so much the ones you don't. Rather, the new commandment, the mandatum novum, is to love one another just in the same way that Jesus loves all of us. That is to say, our calling as followers of Jesus Christ is to love even those who may displease us, even to love those who may mistreat us in some real or perceived way, or to put it as Jesus put it in another place, to show love and kindness even to our enemies. Indeed, it's interesting to note that Jesus didn't even need to leave the table that night, where on this night he was celebrating the first communion, to find an enemy. Peter was there, who denied him, and Judas was there, who just the day before had arranged to betray him for money. And he showed them both nothing but love that night. Not hatred, not resentment, no contempt, only love. And this is our calling, to love as Jesus loves. And when we really love as Jesus loves, we show ourselves to be true disciples of his. And when we don't love as he loves, we show ourselves to be something else. Never mind how much we might say that we love him. And so that's the first thing that we remember tonight, the mandatum novum. The second thing we remember is Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which is really an extraordinary thing when we remember the culture in which Jesus did it. Indeed, in Jesus' day, to touch another person's feet was considered to be personally degrading. Indeed, in Jesus' day, only slaves touched other people's feet, taking off the sandals of their betters and washing their feet, if that's what their betters required of them. And this, by the way, was why Peter balked and then even protested when Jesus tried to wash his feet, because Peter thought that it was degrading to Jesus, the Mashiach, the Messiah, for him to be washing the disciples' feet. But the lesson of the foot washing is that we're all called to serve one another, not grudgingly or with misgivings, but to serve each other willingly and humbly and cheerfully, no matter how humble the service, even as Jesus serves each one of us. And so that's the second thing we remember, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. The third thing that we remember is the Holy Communion, or the Holy Eucharist, or Lord's Supper, whichever name you like to give to it, which Jesus instituted on this very night, even modeling for us how to do it when we do it. Indeed, we take the bread because Jesus took the bread, and we bless the bread because Jesus blessed the bread, and then we break the bread because Jesus broke the bread, and then we eat the bread and we share it. That's because that's what Jesus did. And likewise with the wine. And when we do so, we're not only remembering with our minds what Jesus did, we're actually reliving what he did with our very hands. And when we eat the bread and we drink the wine, we feed on him in our hearts by faith, sacramentally, with thanksgiving. because Jesus is as he said. I just read it this morning. The bread of life. And unless we receive him and believe in him and feed on him in our hearts by faith, we cannot know eternal life. So he said. And so we read in John's Gospel in chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the living bread, just like the manna. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And so Jesus said to them in verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, and you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. And so we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And so that's the third thing we remember tonight, the Holy Communion. Fourthly, we remember this night the denial of Peter. Indeed, Jesus made it very clear to his disciples on that night the things that were going to happen to him. That he would be betrayed by one of them into the hands of his enemies. That he would be arrested. And that on that night his suffering and his passion would begin. But as we all know, Peter, he pledged Jesus undying loyalty. No matter what. As we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 33, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. In the very next verse, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Luke 22 and verse 34. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this night until you deny three times that you even know who I am. And that's exactly what Peter did. Indeed, when Jesus could have really used a friend, Peter, in order to save his own skin, Peter denied that he even knew who Jesus was, and the cock crowed. And to be like Jesus, to live the kind of life that he experienced, is to know what it's like to be forsaken by a friend who has pledged undying loyalty and then doesn't, in order to serve his or her own best interest. And so that's the fourth thing we remember tonight, the denial of Peter. Finally, we remember this night the betrayal of Judas. It's always been interesting to me, or at least in more recent years, that Jesus allowed Judas to be and remain a member of the apostolic band. All the while he knew who Judas was. But he did. Indeed, Jesus, we read in the Gospels, sent Judas on mission with the rest of the disciples, and Jesus washed Judas's feet, and he served him bread and wine at the first communion. And this all the while that Jesus knew just exactly who Judas was. In fact, in the sixth chapter of John, long before we get to the night that he was betrayed, you know, they were following him all around the Galilee because he could take a small boy's lunch and turn it into a feast for 5,000 people. They said, who needs to go be a day laborer? We'll just follow him around. And then one day he turned and said, you're missing the point. This isn't about the bread. I'm the bread of life. And then he went on to say some of the things we've quoted here tonight. And they said, well, that's not why we're here. these are strange things that you're saying. And so we come toward the end of that same sixth chapter of John, and we read, and John says, and after this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and no longer walked with him. Well, if you're going to talk that way, we're not going to follow you. As if that was negotiable. And so many of Jesus' followers turned back and no longer walked with him. And so he said to the 12, you know, Peter, James, John, and all the rest of them, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we've come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered, did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? And John says, and this Jesus spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. And Judas did betray him into the hands of his enemies, very dangerous enemies, for money and with a kiss of hypocrisy. And tonight when we strip the altar and slam the door and the lights go dim and we leave in silence, we will remember that on this night Judas betrayed the master and that Jesus was captured and turned over to sinners to suffer and to die that we might be saved from the power and penalty of our sins. Even as the prophet Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before it ever even happened. Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that and all the rest is what we remember on this holy night. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.